Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. I am Ann Eller. I am here. We're going to be talking about diabetes today. And, you know, you may want to say you want to switch the dial, but really you should keep the dial right here today because it's something that can affect anyone. And one of the things that I think we all should know is that you can do things to help yourself on diabetes and making sure it doesn't get any worse, maybe even improving your life. And I think the other thing that we need to know is that we don't know what's happening with healthcare, so we need to take care of ourselves the best we can. So we brought in today Rebecca Wise. She is a registered nurse and a certified diabetes educator. She has been with Self Regional for many years. We'll just say that, Rebecca. Okay. And she knows a whole lot about educating and with their new express bus that they have to go out into the country and different areas. There's a lot of going to be talking about all that. We're also here with Cheryl Scurry. She is with the Vascular Program. She works to make sure everybody knows how everything works together. And, you know, just like so many things, one thing leads to another if you don't coordinate them all together. So we're hoping that during Diabetes Month, which is November, that we can give out some good information and help everybody get checked if you think you have some of the symptoms and make sure that you're on a healthy path. So, Rebecca, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine, Ann.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
You've been dealing with diabetes. What made you get into the diabetes education part of it? Why did you decide that?
Well, as a child, I had always wanted to be a teacher, but then I kind of changed my mind and decided I would be a nurse. And I think I started drawing up my grandfather's insulin when I was around 11. So now I have the best of both worlds. I'm a nurse that educates. Many, many people in my family had diabetes type 2, which we see 90% of the people that do have it have that type. And so I had a passion for helping people deal with this disease.
Do you have diabetes?
I do.
You do? So that's something that you're constantly thinking about, how to make sure that everybody has the information out there.
Right.
So, just out of curiosity, how long have you had diabetes?
Well, I actually knew that I was at risk because of everyone in my family, grandparents on both sides, my mother, her brothers and sisters, all having it, that I was at higher risk. So I actually asked my doctor about going on a medication about 8 years ago, even though my blood sugar was still normal at the time. And, you know, I have been able to keep my A1C, which is like a 3-month average, right at 6. So either I'm still pre-diabetic or just the medicine has kept me under very well control.
Wow, that's terrific. And, you know, I think in today's world, it's not the same as it was when your grandfather had diabetes, is it?
No, there were actually only 2 insulins available and 2 oral medicines, and now there's an abundance and getting new ones each day. 5 to 6 different classes of oral medication.
That makes it tough, doesn't it, for nurses and doctors to keep up with all this?
It does. But they all work a little differently, and so sometimes it's identifying where the biggest problem is and matching the medication to the person and what they can tolerate.
Now, Cheryl, you work with the vascular part of this, and, you know, you were telling me before we went on the air that's a very big a correlation between heart disease and heart issues and vascular issues and diabetes. How does that come together?
Well, we look at risk factors for heart disease, and diabetes is one of the risk factors. Diabetes affects the blood vessels, and you're 2 to 4 times at a higher risk for having a heart attack, heart disease, or stroke if you have diabetes. So there's a direct correlation with diabetes and heart disease or stroke.
And I believe one of the things you were telling me before we went on the air that a person could actually be having a heart attack and because of nerve damage would not know it.
Yes, it's called a silent heart attack. We have it happen frequently. Someone that has diabetes actually presents to us and have already had a heart attack, and they didn't have the chest pain that the normal person would have because diabetes causes nerve damage, and they didn't feel it. And so you have to really be on your toes and really experience what your body's trying to tell you and seek medical attention if there's anything going on. But you can really actually have a heart attack and not know it.
Wow. And actually, women are more, aren't they more likely to have a heart attack and not realize it is a heart attack? Is that right,
yes,
Cheryl?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a double whammy for women. But Rebecca, what are some of the things that, when we're talking about diabetes, it is a big risk factor here in South Carolina. Why does South Carolina appear to have more diabetes, or does have more diabetes in its population?
Well, we do know that it's hereditary, so if you have enough of your family members that have lived here, and we know that with our lack of exercise and our diets high in fat, that causes a person to gain weight, and then if they already are hereditary, they're more likely to develop those things. It's not eating sugar. It's just mainly being overweight and not getting enough exercise.
Yeah, you know, when we think back to South Carolina being a farming community and how hard people worked out on the farm, and then they came home and they had that big, maybe fatty dinner and everything, but they worked it off, didn't
right.
they?
Right.
And now we still like those good home-cooked meals when we can get them or eat them in restaurants or whatever, and yet we're not getting the same type of exercise, are we?
No. Unfortunately, our children are now tied to phones and iPads and iPods, and I don't even know some of the technical names, but they're not outside exercising as we once did. And, you know, maybe part of that is parents may not feel safe that their children are out playing.
Well, the statistic that came out today, or yesterday, I guess it was, they were talking about that the children today cannot run a mile as fast as their parents could at that age.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening, isn't it, Cheryl?
Yeah, it really is. With the heart department that I work in, you know, exercise is one of the main benefits that can reduce your risk for heart disease. And if you don't start as a child learning how to exercise and take care of yourself, it feeds into adulthood. And I was reading something today. It talks about, you know, cause sometimes we think that we really have to just work out really hard, and people don't have time for that, and they're not going to do it, and they say, well, I'm just not going to do anything. But walking 30 minutes a day, every day, is just as good as running three times a week. So, you know, for the people who don't, you know, running's not always the best option, but walking is one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. We get fresh air, we exercise, we lose weight. It lowers all of our risk factors. It can lower your blood pressure, cholesterol levels can come down, your sugar levels get better. It's a win-win to walk.
Sure, and I think I've actually read that you don't have to do 30 minutes of continuous. If you did a 15-minute walk in the morning and a 15-minute walk at night, like when you're walking the dog, hello, that adds up too.
Yeah, any type of physical activity. If it's really bad weather and you don't want to get out, one of our heart nurses, she always says, in between commercials, when you're home watching TV, when there's a commercial on,
Don't go to the refrigerator.
March in place and get the heart rate up. And then sit back, watch your show. When the next commercial comes on, do it again. Any type of physical activity is better than none.
And what effect does the physical activity, Rebecca, have on diabetes?
For one thing, it helps your insulin work better. It increases your insulin sensitivity. Most people with type 2 diabetes are known to have insulin resistance. That means that they may still make enough insulin, but it's just not working at the cell level to let the glucose come out of the blood and go into the cells. And so we know that exercise can increase that sensitivity at the cell sites to allow the glucose to enter that. Some other things, we know that it can help with the weight loss, and now they recommend it. It used to be 10% weight loss if you were overweight. They now even say a 7% reduction can be beneficial.
Wow.
So it helps use up your glucose. It also helps it work your insulin to work better at the cell level. So a lot of good things.
Well, I even think, and I'll just do this from a personal, I think just getting out and walking, I'll go out and walk around the building. It's just, it relieves the stress of work or stress if you're concerned about something. Just breathing, deep breathing helps when you're out moving around.
Right. Even if you're going to the mall, we say park further back. Don't park right at the front. You know, that little bit of extra walk into the mall is helpful. Every little bit that you can add into helps.
But what do you say to people that say, oh, it's just a few more steps. What does it matter? Cheryl, come on now. What does it really matter for me to walk a few steps? I'm tired. It's the end of the day. I got to go to the mall.
I would tell them those few steps could save your life.
Yeah.
Because they really could.
Yeah.
Another thing that the exercise does, it's not only that it helps the blood sugar to stay under control that day, it's a longer lasting, so that it helps several days. So any little bit can be beneficial.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Rebecca Wise. She is a certified diabetes educator and an RN at Self Regional. We're also here with Cheryl Scurry. She's with the vascular program. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller, and today we're talking about diabetes. November is Diabetes Month. Last week was World Diabetes Day. That was a big event that y'all had in Uptown Greenwood, wasn't it, Rebecca?
It was. I had a lot of volunteers to help put that together. The World Diabetes came together as part of the International Federation of Diabetes. And that was due to just an overwhelming increase in the prevalence of diabetes. And this year, our theme was diabetes awareness and prevention. So that's what we were trying to do in Uptown Greenwood. We had our mayor to read proclamation making it World Diabetes Day for Greenwood. Some other things that we did, we had the people that came that didn't know if they were at risk to take the American Diabetes Association paper at-risk form. And then if they proved to be at risk, we also did an A1C, which is a machine that can show your average glucose for the last 3 months. And then if we found that they were above average, then we would, you know, ask them to please refer to back to their physician for further testing.
Okay. So, maybe we ought to talk a little bit about the testing. You know, one of the things you were telling me, Rebecca, before we came on the air, that some of the ways that they find out that somebody might have diabetes, such as vision, going to the ophthalmologist. Why don't you talk about some of the ways that you find out that you may have diabetes or be at higher risk for it?
Okay. Well, first, those at risk are those, as we get older, usually over 45 for type 2, if you have a mother, daddy, grandparent, sister, or brother that has had diabetes in the past, that increases your risk. If you had it during pregnancy, so if it was a gestational diabetes, you're at higher risk of developing type 2 later in life. For those that are minorities, African American and Hispanics are much higher risk of developing type 2. As far as, you know, well, how will I know if I have it? If you find that your going to urinate more, especially at night. If you just can't quench your thirst, if you have a dry mouth constantly, blurred vision, sores that don't heal as well. It can be a tingling in your feet. It can be a weight loss sometimes. This is more found in type 1, but in type 2, sometimes the weight loss is, especially if you're truly out of control when it is found. As far as other symptoms, it can be increase in urinary tract infections or vaginitis for the women. That's why a lot of times our GYN doctors are the ones that actually make the diagnosis. Sometimes the blurred vision, which is just the lens of the eyes are swollen with excess glucose. They can't see as well, so they go to the ophthalmologist, and they're the ones that think that, you know, there's blood sugar reasons to send them back to their primary doctor. So those are your risk factors, and those are some of the things to have. If you've had those type of things, we also see it in males, and they'll start having impotence. Those are all signs that the sugar is becoming high. And so really need to pay attention to your bodies. We also, in especially our minorities, our African-Americans and our Spanish-speaking people, if they see a dark ridge behind the back of their neck or under their arms, this is a term called acanthosis nigricans, and what
would
it is.
Would you like to say that again?
it's actually a patch of just a real fibrous dark tissue, and it really means that the body's making a lot of insulin that may not be working as it needs to. So any of those are just little clues to tune us in to maybe we need to have our sugars checked.
Now, how about Sherry, Cheryl, from your standpoint, where do you see symptoms that crop up?
What we look for when we're looking for someone with heart disease or stroke risk factors is, are they diabetic? Have they been diagnosed with diabetes? And if not, do they have high cholesterol, high blood pressure? Weight is an issue that makes you at a higher risk for heart disease, and your lack of exercise. So with diabetes, what we know is that it causes the blood vessels and the blood to act differently, and that risk factor leads to heart disease, clogging of the arteries, not always a heart attack, but you can have heart disease because of diabetes. So what we try to do is come behind Rebecca. She's found that you have diabetes. Now mm-hmm. we want to educate you on what this puts you at risk for with heart, stroke, and vascular disease. It affects all three. Diabetes is it's just one of those diseases that it's not just I need to take my sugar pill or I need to take my shot. It's I need to find out what other risk factors I have, and am I at a high risk for a heart attack or a stroke, and try to make those lifestyle changes also.
Right. Now, what is the difference between type 2, type 1? I mean, we're talking about this like we all know what it is. What is the difference, Rebecca?
Type 1 is actually an autoimmune disease. It comes on very quickly. It used to be called juvenile because we found it mostly in younger children, but they no longer call it that because we can have 80-year-olds that show up with type 1, but it's used to follow, especially it can be caused from things in the environment. It can be stress-induced. It can be following some type of virus. When we used to have children that had chickenpox, a lot of times it would follow that. But now that we vaccinate against that, we don't see that as much. But this is where the body just actually starts attacking its own body, and the body quits making insulin. Insulin is a hormone that comes from the pancreas, and it is released a little all the time. And then when you eat carbohydrates, which are starches, fruits, or milks, you get another little squirt of the insulin to cover that food. They can have the same symptoms, they can have the same complications, but it usually comes on at an earlier age. Type 2 is actually caused from insulin resistance, like I said before. where we usually see high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and somewhat fluffy around the middle. We call it that rather than
fluffy around fat. The middle. Okay.
But we see those things, and it's where the body is making enough insulin for a while to take care of the higher blood sugars. But as it continues, because we sometimes have found that by the time you're diagnosed with type 2, the research shows you've already lost 50% of your insulin production. And that's because it can come on as slowly as for 20 years of developing it.
Wow.
And it's when the insulin can no longer make enough that's working properly to keep that blood sugar under control.
Wow. Well, we're going to join South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back in just a second. If you have a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We're talking about diabetes today. As I've said, November is Diabetes Month. And, I think it used to be when somebody found out they had diabetes, it was everything, their world was falling apart. Wasn't it, Rebecca?
Yes.
But today, it's a different story, isn't it?
For most. Are still thinking that it can be worse than, but I think education is a key to learn what they need to do and how to live their life normally as much as possible to take care of themselves.
Now, we always talk about diet and diabetes. What are some of the key things as far as diabetes goes?
It's really no longer called like a diabetic diet, because it's just healthy eating. It's, lower fat, green leafy vegetables, fruits, whole grains are important, and just learning how much carbohydrate do you need to sustain your life. And when you put that together with your exercise and sometimes medication, you can live pretty much like everyone else. Of course, now, I'm not saying it's easy. You have to check your blood sugar. You have to take medications. You have to know what to do if your sugar's high or if it's low, and how to be prepared for that. So I'm not saying that it's an easy road. I'm saying that it can be managed for most.
Can you prevent diabetes?
You can. For those with type 2 diabetes, it has been known, if it's identified early enough, what we call pre-diabetes, and that's if you have that A1C done and the normal is anything less than 6, and so if your A1C comes back 5.7 to 6.4, that is actually referred to as pre-diabetes by the American Diabetes Association, and they say that really is the only one that can be reversed. And that is usually with a 7% weight loss and increase in your activity.
Now, is it only heavier people that get diabetes?
No. Most type 1s are either normal size or even underweight. And we do see some that are type 2s that are not overweight. They've identified a different, another type of diabetes where it looks like type 2, but they're actually not labeled as a type 2. But
what are they called?
It's LADA. And so it's the one kind of in the middle, 1.5.
Okay.
Guy.
It's in the middle. Okay.
Yeah. And then we also know gestational diabetes is usually nothing that the mother has done incorrectly. It's just her hormones of pregnancy make her insulin resistant. And as far as the pregnancy progresses, it becomes harder and harder to keep the sugar under control.
Now, you know, sometimes I can you still have cake and cookies and that kind of stuff, Rebecca?
You can, you know, my poor grandmother probably turns over in a grave every day when I teach. You can still have sugar, because back then it was that you could not. You were not allowed any type of table sugar. They found several years ago, you know, maybe 10 years ago, that whether you ate a baked potato or a piece of cake, carb's a carb. It will do approximately about the same. Of course, you get more nutrients from eating the baked potato.
Are you sure, but, Rebecca? I think the cake has much more nutrients. It's much more satisfying.
It can be, unfortunately, you know, the empty calories.
Okay, so, I understand.
Yeah. But as far as what does it do to your blood sugar, approximately about the same. So it's learning how that if you do want a little treat, how to count the carbs in it and how to put that into your meal plan. Maybe leaving off part of the baked potato if you want that small piece of cake.
Notice, folks, she said small piece of cake. Yeah. But, you know, they came out several years ago with a lot of different diets, like the South Beach diet and some of these others that are low-carb diets. Are those good diets for diabetes or not?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of who you ask on that one, some controversy. I know the Mediterranean diet has also been found that they think that one is a safe one. I think, you know, to leave out a whole food group is not something that we can use in any kind of long term. So I would still stick with eating what you enjoy, but watching proportion sizes and making sure that you're eating a quantity of whole grains and fresh fruits and vegetables.
Now, is that because, like, a whole grain digests slower? Is that part of the key to this?
It does. The refined carbs actually cause the blood sugar to peak, so it causes a higher rise than the whole wheat. The more fiber you have, it helps with your making you feel full. Mm-hmm. Plus, it helps how it digests those carbohydrates so that you don't get that large spike after you eat foods with fiber.
Hmm. Okay. Now, Cheryl, as far as talking about diet and hearts and this type of thing, what type is the same type of diet good for a heart healthy?
If you're diabetic, we really suggest that you follow your diabetic diet. There's not a big difference with what the American Heart Association describes as a heart healthy diet and not diabetic diet, but what diabetics should eat. It is whole grains, fruits, vegetables, meat that's low in saturated fats.
Yeah, what about that red meat? I really like a good steak, Cheryl.
Moderate in portion size, everything in moderation. The American Heart Association really has taken their guidelines and tried to make them more accessible to what the American public really is going to go by. So, some red meat is fine. It's just how much red meat do we eat. And just for diabetics, they really need to get education. I have a great personal experience. A lady that I work with is diabetic, and she's been having a really hard time with her insulin. Her numbers have been really high, and she didn't want to go on insulin. She's been taking medication, and her doctor was wanting to put her on insulin, and she didn't want to. So I suggested maybe you need to get some diabetic education. Maybe you're not eating the right thing. And
sure,
she went to Rebecca, and in turn, she has decided through her doctor and talking with Rebecca that she needs to go on insulin, that she's fighting what her body needs, and that she's really hurting a lot of her internal organs. Her kidneys are functioning properly. You know, she could be hurting her heart, her vascular system. So that education has helped her to make a decision that she adamantly was against a week ago. So, yeah, the diet is, you know, learning what is the right thing to eat for a diabetic, I think, is one of the most important things, really, is because it's so confusing.
Sure,
but
it is.
But if you follow you know, that diet where it's they make it pretty simple, that's also going to be a heart healthy diet also.
Okay. And, you know, that brings up another question, Rebecca. Going on insulin, you know, I think a lot of people have that same philosophy. Oh, I don't want to go on insulin. I'll do this. I'll do that. What's the answer?
They've improved how the insulins work so much. Some of the older insulins, like my grandfather was on, they were not stable, meaning that they could work the best today at 6 hours and maybe not work the best tomorrow for 10 hours. So you would get these variations in your blood sugar even if you did the exact same thing. Some of the newer medicines now you take once a day and they last around the clock to cover what we call like our baseline. And it's similar to the way our bodies produce insulin when we don't have problems with diabetes, in that you get that little bit all the time, and then some people are on mealtime insulin, so that is a rapid acting insulin that just covers for the food and also correcting the blood sugar at a mealtime. So there's a lot of different kinds on the market now. There's ways to give it differently. Some still use the vial and syringe. They've made the insulin pens, which are very easy. You screw on a needle and dial up the dose and give it. And you can even carry it in your pocketbook.
Sure.
Then we have some that are on insulin pumps, and that also mimics your pancreas in that you get a basal rate of insulin all the time automatically. And then all pumps now are called smart pumps. They do the math for you.
Just like the smartphone, yep.
And so they've made it very easy for the patient. A lot of people, they use a meter. When they check it, it automatically goes to the pump. And then we've figured out how much insulin do they need to cover 15 grams of carbs, and how much insulin do they need to correct their blood sugar back to 100. And they punch a little button and they get their insulin that way. So technology has improved tremendously, the insulins, the medications, and also the way that we have different ways of giving it.
Sure, and I think even the meters now, you know, I know that they've gotten so just a pinprick, you can't even hardly tell, and it draws the right amount of blood.
Like I said, I have been doing this for a while. I actually started the program back in 87 at the hospital. The first meter I saw was over $1,000.
Wow.
And it took about 30 minutes to do a procedure. So now they take 5 seconds and a very small drop of blood. And most of the Lancet devices now, you hardly feel that you're, you know, getting a prick.
Well, hey, we are here. We're talking about diabetes today. Great information here from Rebecca Wise and from Cheryl Scurry. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. If anybody's got a question, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets doing the show I do every day, Meet Me at the Diner. We have had Rebecca Wise, who is a registered nurse and certified diabetes educator. She has a wealth of information. And Rebecca, if somebody wanted to call you or find out more, how do they go about doing that?
Well, our office is located at 1226 Spring Street. It's right across the street from the hospital, next to the what used to be the old Blood Connection. And so we're there Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5. If you want to call in, our number is 725-5007. And that's straight into one of our office phones. Would like everyone to know that if your doctor refers you, it does require that a doctor have a referral to see us. We are American Association Diabetes Educator Accredited Program. And what that means to you is that most insurances will cover partially for diabetes education. It is also a Medicare, Medicaid covered benefit. And if you've never had diabetes education and you have Medicare, they will allow 10 hours that first year and 3 hours to see a dietitian, and then 2 years of each every year after that. So if we don't use those benefits, I'm sure our government will decide we don't need those. So be sure and use your benefit. We also offer free community classes, and these are held on the second Thursday of every month at 10 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. And it's about a particular subject, and we have 4 people staffed in our office, so we take turns on who's speaking that day. These are held in the Optimum Life Center. They are advertised in the Index Journal. We also have just started.
If you let me know, I'll go ahead and put that out for you, too.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Ann.
Yeah.
We've also started a Sit and Be Fit. A lot of our patients, having had neuropathy, the nerve condition that diabetes can cause, had difficulty in walking and doing those type of exercises. So we started a class. It's on the third Thursday of every month at 3 o'clock, and all these classes are available in the Optimum Life Center across from the emergency room. But that is where we teach you how to sit in a chair and do exercises. So there's not many excuses why we can't do those. We also have a camp for children on the 1 week out of June, usually in June, and we now hold those at the YMCA. It's a very reasonably priced. This last year was our 20th. It's for children with diabetes ages 6 to 19. You can just give me a call if I don't know your child. I'll be glad to send out an application.
And I suppose that's good for kids to be able to see other kids that have diabetes and how they're dealing with it.
We had a young man this year for the first time. He's 14, and he had moved here from Denver, and he told one of our reps that was helping that day that this was wonderful. And the rep said, yeah, you got to go swimming and you get to crawl on the tire. And he said, no, being with all these other children with diabetes. So, yes, it means a lot to them.
Sure. How they deal with it, how they structure their lives. And I'm sure kids are giving kids other tips on how to deal with this too.
Right.
Yeah. So these are good things, but you just need to get off your duff and do something about it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's that's the first step. That really is the first step for just about anything, isn't it?
Right.
You know, whether you think you need to lose 5 or 10 pounds or whether you need to quit smoking, which I understand, I didn't even realize this, tomorrow is the smoke out.
Great American Smoke Out is tomorrow, so we want you to throw those cigarettes in the trash can tomorrow and start a new healthy lifestyle.
And what is the effect with smoking and vascular disease and everything?
Smoking takes a tremendous toll on the heart and the vascular system. The heart and the arteries that lead to the brain, to the legs, the arms, they're all affected. Smoking constricts the vessels, plaque builds up inside those arteries, and that's where you get stroke, heart attacks, peripheral artery disease is when you can lose a leg to amputation because of the lack of blood flow. So smoking for heart and vascular is just one of our biggest risk factors that you can control. You can quit smoking, and that can absolutely turn your life around.
We also see those people that have suffered from nephropathy, the kidney disease, that are now on dialysis. A large majority of those people with diabetes were also smokers, so it damages all parts of the body.
Well, I just want you to know, since we're sitting here at Sharp Facets, I have 3 gals out there that all smoke, and they're relatively young, you know? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
It is. We're going to go get them.
Yeah, we're going to go get them. Okay. All right. it's hard to believe, isn't it, that, and you know, I guess one of the biggest things is we have young people that take up this habit, and then it becomes very difficult to quit, doesn't it, Cheryl?
It really does. It's very difficult. I've done some of the smoking cessation counseling, and you know, it not only heart, vascular, but lungs. You know, you get lung cancer. It affects every organ in the body, and never in a positive way.
Well, but you know, it keeps you skinny, particularly if you're a girl. That's a big help, right? Cheryl, I'm being facetious here.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking. But
yes, that's what they say. You know, that's what they say. Yeah, exactly.
And you men out there that are smoking, especially if you have diabetes, there is increase in impotence for smokers. So give it up.
Give it up. That's right. Okay. Well, you know, Miley Cyrus said that all those over 40 aren't having sex anyway. So, you know, I put that out there because I find that amazing. Can you imagine if Miley Cyrus lives till 40? If she'll be giving up sex? That's what I want to know. Well, listen, you know, this has been a great conversation about diabetes, and there are so many ways to help yourself. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. It doesn't have to be an end of living your life the what you like or what you want out of life. It's just learning how to live a healthy lifestyle. Am I right on that, Rebecca?
That's right.
So why not do something about it? This is National Diabetes Month. What should somebody do if they've listened to this and they go, you know, God, I've heard this, I've heard that. What should they do, Rebecca?
Just talk to your doctor, call us. We'll be glad to talk with you. Just get it checked.
Get it checked and get on with life. I mean, you know, we only have so much. And like we said, you know, you got to take care of yourself these days. You don't want to be leaving it to somebody else. Take care of yourself. Cheryl Scurry, thanks so much from the Vascular Program coming out and talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This was fun. And Rebecca, thank you for coming out today and educating us some more on diabetes.
I enjoyed it, Anne. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. You know, we are right here at WCRS. You know, if you want more information, you can call the office over there where Rebecca is, 725-5007. That's 725-5007. The hospital works to help you. And like you said, Rebecca, there's a lot of free things that you can get involved in. But also, if you're on Medicare or a lot of insurance programs, will work with you with some of the health education programs that are out there.
Right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Guess what? It's 5 o'clock. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.